of Crime Detection has produced no more famous name than that of Sexton Blake. We present William Franklin as Sexton Blake, with David Gregory as his assistant Tinker and Heather Chasen as his secretary Paula Dane, in a series of case histories by Donald Stewart. Today's episode is called You Must Be Joking.
Oh, good morning, Smithson.
Morning, Mr. Blake, sir. Quite a stranger in the club, aren't you? Must be all of 2 months since you was last here.
I'm kept pretty busy, you know. Don't get much time.
Oh, no, I suppose not, sir. Don't keep to hours in your profession, eh?
No, just as well I don't belong to a union.
Oh, well, that's a fact, sir. What can I get you?
Vodka and tonic, please.
Ice and lemon?
Thank you.
Good heavens, it's Blake. Well, well, long time no see.
I was just saying the same thing, Major Brewer.
Nice to see you, Major. How's the world treating you?
Mustn't grumble, you know. Feel a bit of a misfit these days. Don't understand all this modern way of going on.
Make it a large scotch as well, please, Smithson.
Right, sir.
Very good of you, Blake. Taking the morning off?
Not exactly. I was passing the club on my way home to Berkeley Square. Thought I'd drop in for a drink.
Glad you did. Place hasn't changed much. A lot of new faces. Oh, and they've repainted the card room.
I haven't been away all that time, Major. The card room had been painted when I was here last.
Vodka and tonic and a large scotch, sir. Water beside you.
Thanks, Smithson. Here's luck, Major.
All the best, Blake. Don't think there's many people you know here this morning, eh? Don't get so many members in now. Get less and less every month.
People haven't got the time these days, Major.
Bro. Oh, Blake. Am I interrupting a private conversation?
No, nothing private.
No.
Last time I saw you, Haynes, was with poor old Tubby Dixon, wasn't it?
Yes, poor old Tubby Dixon. It was the last time I saw him. He died the following week, poor devil.
What will you have, Haynes? I'm in the chair.
Oh, thank you. I'd like a sherry.
The Amontillado, sir?
Please.
Coming up right away.
By the way, Blake, I think I've got something that might interest you. Somebody seems to think I ought to follow old Dixon.
Follow him? What do you mean?
Your sherry, sir.
Oh, thank you, Smithson. Well, all the best, Blake.
Cheers. Here you are, Smithson.
Thank you, sir. I'll get your change.
What did you mean just now, Haynes, about following old Dixon? Oh, nothing really. It's just a joke, of course.
Well, can't we share it?
Well, it's a limerick. Somebody sent me by post. Well, here you are.
My dear Mr. Percival Haynes, what a pity blood flows in your veins. You'll forgive me, I hope, if I stop this with rope and release you from life's earthly pain.
Yeah.
You know who sent this, Haynes?
Oh, not a clue.
One of the chaps at the stock exchange, I suppose.
Rather a macabre sort of joke.
No, I'm not worried.
Your change, Mr. Blake.
Oh, Smithson, repeat the dose, will you, please?
Certainly, sir.
Not for me, thanks. I must be off.
Oh, come now. You've time for another.
No, I really must go. Another time.
Yeah, but according to that limerick, there may not be another time.
You're not taking the thing seriously, surely?
No, of course not. I was only joking.
Well, so long, Major. Be seeing you, Haynes.
Yes.
Do me so long next time, Blake.
Try not to. Goodbye for now. Don't get yourself strung up, Haynes.
With a piece of clothesline, Blake. They found him in his back garden near a tool shed late last night.
Haynes was a decent old chap. Known him casually on and off for years.
We found the limerick in his wallet. You say he'd no idea who sent it.
That's what he said. Any motive, Coots?
Nothing come to light yet. Early days.
Any family? He never mentioned any.
No, he was a bachelor. Elderly couple looked after him. Nice little house, quite well off.
He was a retired stockbroker. Who found him?
Mrs. Clipp. She's the female part of the couple I mentioned. Went down to the shed to get some coke for the kitchen boiler and fell over Haynes.
What made you come to me, Coots?
Thought you'd be interested. Odd business, this limerick. Didn't know you knew the chap until you told me.
I was only talking to him yesterday morning. He showed me that limerick. Thought it was a joke.
It was no joke.
Obviously. What line are you following?
Oh, none in particular. The usual routine. Who benefits by his death? You know the drill.
Yes, and who does?
The Clips get a small legacy. The rest goes to various charities.
Well, that's not very helpful. Any way to tackle it is from the limerick end. Why should the murderer have sent that?
One of those batty people, probably. Hundreds of them these days. Got an idea the whole world's slowly going potty.
Why not try the stock exchange angle? Was there any funny business over shares when he was a stockbroker? Anybody ruined or defrauded who might bear a grudge? You know, that sort of thing.
We'll cover all that, of course.
I don't expect you'll find anything that sticks out like a lump of coal in the snow. It'd be something quite subtle.
How are you fixed at the moment, Blake? Busy?
Oh, I've given up sunbathing, but I'll help if I can.
I didn't like to ask you.
You haven't, I've offered. You haven't really had time to get thoroughly into Haynes' background, have you?
Not yet. What I've got seems pretty straightforward, with not much help.
Grab anything that's the slightest bit odd. Let me know, will you?
Of course.
I'll have a chat with Major Brewer.
Chap who was in the club when Haynes showed the limerick?
Yes. That limerick was dead on target, Coots.
Dreadful thing, Blake. Poor old Haynes. Can't understand it. I thought that rhyme thing was just a joke.
How well did you know Haynes?
Oh, fairly well. Wouldn't call him an intimate friend, but I've known him for a good many years.
Can you suggest any reason why anyone should want to kill him?
Good heavens, no. Last sort of chap for anything like that to happen to him.
He never dropped a hint he was afraid of anyone.
No, not to me.
He certainly didn't seem upset over the limerick.
I'm sure he wasn't, Blake. He thought it was a joke. Must be the work of a lunatic.
That seems to be the popular idea. We've got to exhaust every other explanation before we fall back on that. Did you know Haynes when he was in the brokerage business before he retired?
Yes, did one or two small jobs for me.
No trouble of any kind? I mean, over the buying or selling of any stocks or shares?
Not to my knowledge. Of course, I wouldn't know. Haynes seldom talked about his business.
It was a one-man concern, wasn't it?
Yes, quite a small business. I don't think he was a very rich man. Comfortable, you know, but not rich.
Any relations?
No idea. Sorry, I'm not more helpful.
There's something you can tell me.
Yes?
What kind of man was he?
Kind of man?
Yes, I mean, how would you size him up? You've had a lot of experience in the army. What category would you put Haynes in?
Oh, I see. Well, reticent, rather self-contained, slightly smug, and a bit of a Puritan, but honest in all his dealings.
The last sort of chap, in fact, to get himself murdered.
Oh, definitely.
Excuse me, gentlemen. You talking about poor Mr. Haynes?
Yes, Smithson, why? Do you know something about him?
He was expecting to come into some money, sir. I don't know if that's any help.
Oh, how do you know?
Well, he told me, sir, a couple of weeks ago.
Did he say where he was expecting to get this money?
No, sir. It happened like this, you see. We was talking about the cost of living and that, you know, how it was going up. And Mr. Haynes was saying that what with taxation and things getting so expensive, he wasn't so well off as he had been. Still, Smithson, he said, one of these days, if I live long enough, I'll be a rich man.
He didn't give you any idea how?
No, sir. That was all he said. If I live long enough, I'll be a rich man.
That poor fellow. He didn't live long enough.
No. No, he didn't, did he?
Good morning, Mr. Blake.
Good morning, Paula. You look very nice this morning.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Blake.
You are also 15 minutes late.
I might have known there'd be a sting in the tail.
Cause and effect?
What do you mean?
15 minutes worth of added attractiveness.
There are times when I feel I'm completely wasted here.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Perhaps you'd like to know why I'm late.
I'm sure you have a good reason.
There's been another murder, like what? The Haynes one.
How do you know?
Well, I ran into Chief Inspector Coots on my way here. He was tearing off in a police car, caught sight of me and nearly ripped the tires off pulling up.
Very colourful. Who's dead? Where?
A man named Lorne. He lived at 17 Coddesdon Road, Streatham Hill.
Has Coots gone there?
Yes, he was going to telephone you if he hadn't seen me.
All right, Paula. See if this man Lorne was on the telephone. Ring up Coots and say I'm on my way.
Well, supposing he isn't. On the telephone.
I'll still be on my way. Tinker.
Yes, Governor?
Get the car around, will you? Quickly as you can.
What's cooking?
I'll tell you on the way. Get cracking. I'm in a hurry.
Look at that, Blake. We found it in the desk over there.
My dear Mr. Hamilton Lorne, you really should not have been born. So to remedy this, and be sure I shan't miss, he will die just an hour before dawn. Did he?
What?
Die an hour before dawn.
Well, as near as makes no difference, according to the doctor.
How?
Stabbed. In his bed. Always slept with the bed and window open. We found a light ladder usually kept in the garden, leaning against the sill.
2 weeks after Haynes' murder. When did Lorne get this limerick?
Came by post yesterday morning.
Why didn't he say anything to the police? The newspapers splashed the other killing. Surely the limerick must have rung a bell.
He thought it was his nephew playing a joke, so his daughter says. Always playing some sort of trick.
Haynes thought it was a joke, too.
Definitely a nutcase, I'd say.
We haven't got all the facts yet. Any sign of a motive, Coots?
Not at present.
It would have to be the same motive as Haynes, wouldn't it?
We couldn't find the ghost of a motive there.
Still, there could be one.
Apply to both.
You've seen his daughter, I suppose, Coots. What's her name?
Margaret. Couldn't question her as much as I wanted. Doctor insisted on sending her to bed with a sedative. Hysterical.
You might be able to tell us if Lorne knew Haynes, if there was any link between them.
If there had been, we'd have found it out when we investigated Haynes.
Not necessarily. Lorne may have known of Haynes without Haynes knowing about Lorne. There must be some reason why this limerick man chose these two people.
Not if he's crackers.
I hate these cases, Blake. Trying this and that and the other and getting nowhere. Give me a good old solid motive.
Something that sticks out a mile, eh? What was Lorne? What was his business?
Architect.
Didn't belong to any firm, not recently, that is. Worked at home here. Don't think he did very much.
A retired stockbroker and a partially retired architect.
Could they have known something, Governor, that threatened the murderer's safety?
Quite possibly, Tinker. Apart from the limericks, we still want another link between them.
Or with the killer.
Let's hope we'll be luckier with Lorne. I'll have to be getting back home, Coots. I've got this Giles Austin business on my plate.
Oh, yes, Superintendent Fowler's on that. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm not. Not a trace of him since he went out for his usual morning walk a month ago.
It's my belief he meant to disappear.
I can't find any reason why he should. Millionaire, no troubles. Why suddenly vanish?
Not my pigeon, Blake. I've got enough to be going on with.
Well, I'll leave you to it. Let me know if you turn anything up. Without some more facts, there's nothing I can do for you. I must get back to the Austin job. Bye, Coots.
Bye.
There's a report in from Nichols, Mr. Blake, but I'm afraid it's negative.
Nothing at all to give us a line.
Almost the same old stuff over again. I wish Nichols would get out of the habit of repeating himself.
Oh, he just wants to make sure we don't miss anything.
There's nothing to miss. We know Austin was almost a recluse, that he lived alone except for the servants, that he went out for that walk and never came back. We know nobody can be found who saw him during that walk or since. We know...
All right. We don't want to have to wade all through that.
Well, I had to wade through it. I'm getting a bit fed up with Mr. Austin's life history.
You sound a bit broody this morning, Paula.
I'm not in the least broody, and it's not the morning anymore. It's the afternoon, and I haven't had any lunch.
Ah, I understand. It's your stomach speaking.
My stomach does not speak.
Only a slight protesting rumble?
Well, if it did, it's because it's empty. I suppose you and Tinker had lunch on the way back from Streatham Hill.
Well, we did just drop into a pub for a snack.
Uh-huh.
All right, Paula, off you go.
I say, Governor.
What is it, Tinker?
I just picked up a bit of news about Austin. He nearly lost his life in a fire about 15 years ago.
Where was this?
Hotel in Brighton.
Well, I don't see how it could have any bearing on his disappearance. I mean, 15 years is a long time. And where did you get hold of this?
Well, Nichols. I dropped in to see if he'd got anything fresh.
It wasn't in his report.
We hadn't got it then when he sent that round.
I suppose we mustn't neglect any possibility. You'd better go down to Brighton and see what you can dig up.
Well, it won't be easy after all this time.
Well, there ought to be somebody who remembers. See what you can pick up anyway.
Okay, Governor. Anything new from Chief Inspector Coots?
No, there's hardly been time.
Oh, I bet he finds another dead end. Difficult dealing with a potty brain.
How does your potty brain select his victims? Out of a directory with a pen?
Why not? It's as good a way as any.
I shall need a lot of convincing before I can accept that.
Oh, well, I'll be off. At least I shall get a whiff of the briny. Too late of the year for bikinis, I suppose.
There's always miniskirts. Not a lot of difference.
The little more how much it is. Quotation for something or other. Well, I'll be back as soon as I can. Oh, I'll see you, that is, Gov.
Is Mr. Blake in?
Who wants him?
Major Brewer.
Come in, Brewer.
Thanks.
First door on the right, Major Brewer. I'll be going, Gov.
Sorry to disturb you, Blake, but I've had one of those limericks.
You have? When?
Came by second post. Here you are. You can read it.
My dear Major Anstruther Brewer, the number is now getting fewer. I've accounted for two. There remains only you. Food for rats in an underground sewer.
Thought I'd better let you know.
Have you told the police?
No.
I'll let them know. Oh, don't worry, Major. We've got warning this time. We'll see that our joking friend doesn't carry out his threat.
If he tries, we ought to catch him.
I suppose Major Brewer's no idea who sent the thing or why.
No idea at all.
Beats me. This chap must be a lunatic.
Seems to be a well-organized lunatic. You're having a close watch kept on, Brewer.
You bet your life I am.
That cottage of his in the country, it's pretty isolated, isn't it?
And falling to bits. Hasn't got much money, has he?
No, I think he has to be careful. Lots of pride, though. One of the old school. You haven't turned up anything about Lorne, I suppose.
No, worse luck. Of course, we're still delving.
Able to talk to the daughter yet?
No, she's not a young woman. The shock's left her in a bad way.
Lorne was a widower, was he?
No. Wife ran away with some man or other several years ago, while the daughter was only a girl.
Nothing in that for us. We want to hit on something that covers Lorne and Haynes, and now Brewer.
If this chap tries to get at Major Brewer, we can short-circuit all that.
Yes. How many men have you got watching Brewer?
One. Believed at 8-hour intervals. Couldn't spare any more.
Should be all right if he keeps his wits about him. I think I'll go down myself later on.
If you wait while I call in at the yard, I'll come with you.
Oh, fine. How long will you be?
About half an hour. Got a couple of reports to check through.
I'll pick you up at 9 o'clock.
Not much further to go.
No, we turn off here, down this lane, don't we?
That's right. Hellish dark. Wonder Brewer doesn't live in town.
Doubt if he could afford it.
He's got nobody to look after him, you know. Only a woman who comes in to do the cleaning.
He uses the club quite a lot. Comes up nearly every day in that old car of his.
There's the gate. dust along there. There's a light in the window. Hope they don't take us for the Limerick lunatic.
Your man will be inside, I suppose.
Conyers, yes. I told him not to let Brewer out of his sight. Dismal place to live in.
Why don't they answer? They must have heard. See if you can see anything through the window, Coots.
Can't see much. Half a minute. There doesn't seem to be anyone in the room.
Is that window fastened?
Looks like it. Easy to push out one of the leaded panes.
Do that. We'll apologize after.
All right. I can get at the latch. There we are. The window's open. The room is empty.
Can you scramble in?
I think so. I'm in.
Give me a hand. Thanks. There we are. Well, there's nobody here.
Think they've gone out for a drink?
Could be. Anybody at home? Major Brewer. Brewer! Place seems to be deserted.
Better make sure. Nobody in the kitchen.
Or in this room. Let's try upstairs.
Nobody in here.
Or here. What about the bathroom?
Empty.
Well, that's that.
What can have happened, Blake?
I don't know. I'm worried, Coots.
There were two of them. Surely nothing could
Couldn't
have...
Couldn't it? I hope you're right. I sincerely hope you're right.
Well, I was beginning to wonder what had happened to everybody.
Oh, I just got back from Brighton.
Is Mr. Blake with you?
No, isn't he in?
Well, he doesn't appear to have been home all night. I seem to be the only respectable member of the firm.
Where is the governor?
Oh, don't ask me.
Well, I've got some important news from him about Austin.
Both seem to combine business with pleasure extremely efficiently.
Paula, what are you talking about?
Well, you spend the night gadding about in Brighton. Goodness knows where Mr. Blake spent his. I'm the only one who conscientiously remains at the post of duty.
You sound like someone out of a Victorian novel.
I admit to certain, possibly outdated, standards.
Oh, come off it, Paula.
Well, Mr. Blake might have sent me to Brighton. I'd have liked a nice day by the sea.
I'll bet you would. I didn't see much of the sea. I was too busy.
Blonde or brunette?
Neither. An elderly female who runs a guest house. You know the type.
Come in, Coots. I'll get Mrs. Bardell to rub up some coffee.
Oh, hello, Governor. I'm back.
Come into the sitting room. Tinker, ask Porter to see Mrs. Bardell about some coffee, will you?
All right, I heard.
Sit down, Coots. I think you'd be glad to.
Shan't be able to stop long, Blake. There's going to be trouble over this.
It wasn't your fault. What's happened, Gov?
Our Limerick friend has been busy again. He got Major Brewer this time, in spite of the fact that he was being guarded by the police.
Poor Conyers. He's a wife and two kids.
Conyers?
Detective Constable Conyers. He was guarding Brewer at the Major's cottage. We found his body in some shrubs. He'd been stabbed in the back.
What happened to Major Brewer?
According to the Limerick, his body should be in some sewer. We don't know where, but a search is being made.
Well, I've got some news for you, Governor.
About the fire?
Yeah. Well, after a lot of searching, I found a woman who remembered the fire. Her name, believe it or not, is Amelia Ponsonby. She keeps a boarding house and has done for all 30 years. You know that type, stale cabbage, carbolic soap.
Oh. Get on with it.
Well, the fire was at the Southern Palace Hotel. Posh place in those days. The whole place was gutted. I got newspaper cutting. The fair Amelia keeps a scrapbook with all sorts of junk in it. This was amongst it. Look.
Among the few people saved from the burning building was Mr. Giles Austin, the millionaire catering tycoon. He was occupying a suite on the third floor and had taken some sleeping pills before retiring. The fire, which started in the kitchen, failed to wake him, and only the heroic action on the part of two fellow guests, Mr. Percival Haynes and Mr. Hamilton Lorne, saved his life.
But Blake... That not only links Haynes and Lorne, but Austin as well. Were you expecting that?
No, I certainly wasn't.
Read on, Gov.
Even the efforts of these two brave men who risked their lives to bring Mr. Austin out of the Holocaust failed to save him from severe shock and burns, and he had to be rushed to hospital. Well done, Tinker.
There's no mention of Major Brewer.
We've definitely established a link between Lorne and Haynes and Giles Austin. His sudden disappearance must be connected with the murders.
You're not suggesting he's this Limerick lunatic, are you?
Could be, couldn't he?
If you can find a motive for his killing the two men who saved his life...
And Major Brewer.
coffee.
No, thanks, Paula. Like a spot of brandy in your coffee, Coots?
I would. Haven't got over the shock of finding poor Conyers yet.
I'll get you some. What about you, Mr. Blake?
No, thanks.
What's the next move, Dove?
Needs a good deal of thinking about. A fire seems to have been the beginning of this business. The question is how.
Here you are, Inspector. I put a good dollop of brandy in.
Thanks. Ah, that's nice. We've got a bit further, Blake, but not far enough. We still don't know who or why.
No. We've got to think of something that will fill in the blanks, haven't we? Paula, I've got an idea. How would you like a trip to Brighton?
Well, it sounds attractive. What do I do when I get there?
Find the hospital that Giles Austin was taken to after the fire.
And then?
See if you can get hold of any of the staff who were there at the time. The doctor who attended Austin, if possible.
After 15 years?
Oh, I know, but there must be somebody, even if it's only a cleaner.
What do you want to know?
If there was any other man brought in from the fire as well as Austin.
Brewer?
We've established a connection between Haynes and Lorne. I must find how Major Brewer fits in. He's got to, or he wouldn't have received that limerick.
I'll do my best.
That's usually good enough.
Well, you must be feeling in a good mood this sunny morning. When do I go?
As soon as you can.
Do I take the car?
No, train's quicker. Find Tinker. He'll drive you to Victoria. And Paula.
Yes?
Find out all you can about that fire, even the smallest detail.
I will. See you as soon as I can.
I remember the fire very well, Mr. Dane. The worst we ever had in Brighton. Like a furnace it was, like a furnace. There was a strong wind, you see.
You were attached to the hospital where Mr. Giles Austin was brought, weren't you, Dr. Mercer?
Yes. Very badly injured he was, poor fellow. I never thought he'd pull through. Touch and go, it was. Touch and go.
Were there any other casualties from the fire?
Several. Yes, several. Not as badly hurt as Austin, though. He was the worst.
Can you remember any of their names?
Afraid I can't. A long time ago, and my memory's not what it was. I'm over 70, you know. Been retired now for several years. Let me see now. There was one chap, quite young he was, got himself badly burned helping to pull Austin out.
Try and remember his name if you can.
I think. I'm very bad on names. No, I'm afraid I can't recollect.
Was he a guest in the hotel, like Mr. Haynes and Mr. Lorne?
I don't think so. I can't be sure.
But was he one of the people who rescued Mr. Austin?
Yes, yes, I remember that. Oh. Dear me, I wish I could remember the name. Crossley, was it? No, that's not it, no. I'm sorry, but I can't bring it to mind. You'll find it in the will, though.
The will?
Yes, Austin made a will. I was one of the witnesses. He called the solicitor into the hospital.
This will was drawn up by a local solicitor, Mr. Blake. The original is with Mr. Austin's bankers, but the solicitor had a copy among some old files.
So Austin left all his money to be divided equally between Haynes, Lorne, and this man, Collins.
In gratitude for saving his life.
And if any of them died before Austin, their share was to be added to the others. Kind of tontine. Last survivor gets a lot.
In this case, Collins.
Yes, it gels. Motive for Austin's disappearance, Haynes and Lorne's murder.
But what about Major Brewer? I mean, how does he come into it?
I don't know.
I can't understand how Collins, if he's responsible, could be sure that the will remained valid. And it was 15 years ago, wasn't it? Mr. Austin could have made another, or he could have married, or...
he'd have found that out from Austin, wouldn't he? Haynes wasn't killed until a week after Austin disappeared.
I'm surprised Austin didn't make another will.
Well, he was an orphan, had no family, he never married. I believe there was some romance in his early life that went wrong. I mean, why should he make another will?
So what we've got to do now is to find this man Collins.
Pity Dr. Mercer couldn't remember more about him. Well, we've got the motive. Paula, get hold of Splash Kirby and get him to dig through the file copies of the local papers with pictures of the fire. With a bit of luck, there might be one of the rescuers, including Collins.
Good morning, Mr. Blake.
Oh, good morning, Smithson. Or should I call you Collins?
I beg your pardon, sir?
You were assistant barman at the Southern Palace, Brighton, 15 years ago. You called yourself Charlie Collins, then.
Well, not me, Mr. Blake. You must be mistaken.
Oh, no, I'm not. And neither is Detective Chief Inspector Coots. He knows all about you. You were convicted for robbery with violence soon after that fire, and you served a sentence of nearly 10 years. They weren't so lenient in those days.
You changed your name to Smithson when you came out of prison. You've been mixed up with several shady deals.
Eventually, you got a job here as barman. Seeing Haynes reminded you of the fire and the will Giles Austin made. He told all three of you what he'd done.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You killed Haynes, Lorne, and Brewer.
And Police Constable Conyers. We found Major Brewer's body in that disused sewer.
Both those killings were unnecessary, Collins, but like the limericks, they were intended to fog the issue. The necessary murders were Haynes and Lorne, and later, Austin. Or have you killed him already?
It's all lies. You can't prove anything.
We can prove you're the man mentioned in that will, Collins, and that you had a motive for killing Haynes and Lorne. I'm charging you, and I must warn you that anything you say...
Charles Austin was still alive when you found him, Guff.
Yes, but in a very weak condition. Collins had got him tied up in the cellar of an old bungalow where he lived. We were only just in time.
Well, what would he have done with Austin's body? I mean, there'd had to be proof of death, wouldn't there, before he could obtain probate?
I think Collins would have let him starve to death and then left the body on a common or in a wood. Death would have looked natural. Then he would have claimed the money under his own name, Charlie Collins.
A real beauty. And he might have got away with it.
The trouble is, they all try and be too clever. The more simple a crime is, the more difficult it is to hit on the solution. That story in our Sexton Blake series was called You Must Be Joking and was written by Donald Stewart. William Franklin was Sexton Blake, David Gregory, Tinker, and Heather Chasen, Hauler. Smithson the Barman was played by Bernard Brown, Major Brewer, Humphrey Morton, Percival Haynes, Harold Caskett, Detective Chief Inspector Coots, Wilfred Babbage, and Dr. Mercer, Rafe Truman. The series was devised for radio by Philip Ridgway and produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.